And to me, it's not just the ups and downs of golf. It's the ups and downs of life. I've got a guy coming in actually later today, but I remember when he was a high school kid and I helped him write a text to his girlfriend he was trying to get back. And you go from growth spurts that you got to deal with where they play like shit because they're growing, their first girlfriends or boyfriends.
Whether you're trying to break 100, 90, 80, or you want to become a tour player, you're in the right place. You get the right information for your game. Come on, follow me at Chip Shot. Let's play better golf.
All right, so joining me here on the tour coach from his lovely office with nice wood paneling. Man, I'll tell you what, I got to upgrade the studio here in Mobile, I think. But my good friend, he's one of the great teachers in the game out there, young teachers in the game. Of course, everybody's young to me now that I'm old. But John Scott Rattan. John, what you up to, buddy?
Not much, Tony. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be back on with you. I love what you do, so I'm excited to have a great conversation and learn myself, too.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, since the last time I had you on, certainly things have gone great for you. You're having a great run out there. It's fun to watch you. I remember some of the first stuff I always saw was, you know, some young players and then seeing you out there with more established players, especially guys like Stuart Sink, who's from the state of Alabama, close to the same age. And, you know, his grandmother lived down at the Country Club of Mobile. And he used to play down there where I spent a lot of time. So you're doing a heck of a job with those guys. But, you know, we talked off the air before we started recording this about, you know, like I know my passion is developing young players and watching and developing people from high school to college to professional and seeing some of them get touring cards or, you know, even watch going to weddings and watch seeing them get married and have kids and stuff like that. And, you commented, it's a different animal between coaching weekly on the PGA Tour versus developing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how they're different, but what also can players and coaches take from both that would help them?
Yeah. I mean, I think like they're really different animals, like in long-term athletic development, you know, don't just think player development, LTD. Like it's a passion of mine. And I think it's like, it's a hard thing to do. It's to go from, all right, we're going to play in high school golf and then we're going to go play in college and like make the college team and qualify and go through that animal. And then it's navigating pro golf. And then how do you navigate your first year? Like there's a whole lot of ups and downs in that process. And as a coach, like you've got to wear so many different hats with it. And I think it's a special journey as a coach to be a part of all of that with a player. I'm lucky to have done it a couple of times. And it's like, I think it's probably the most important role we can play as like a mentor to these young kids that want to do it. Because like the more you get out there, there's not a lot of joy in pro golf sometimes. It can beat you up. And if you don't like handle the things the right way, like coming up, it's and golf defines you in a way, like it can get really tough. And to be able, like, I think there's like misunderstood things about like what that road looks like.
Yeah, no question. No question. And I think, you know, I look at, you talk about the ups and downs during that. And to me, it's not just the ups and downs of golf. It's the ups and downs of life. I've got a guy coming in actually later today. He's in business now, but I remember when he was a high school kid and I helped him write a text to his girlfriend he was trying to get back. You know, that he got in trouble with, like, you know, there's so many things. You go from growth spurts that you got to deal with where they play like shit because they're growing. You've got their first girlfriends or boyfriends. You've got sometimes parents being on their ass. You do a lot of stuff other than golf.
I think and the further you get into, you ask like the differences in coaching, like on a week on a tour event or a developing athlete is like the timing of when you give information becomes really important. It becomes such a like cornerstone of your coaching. Like at a tour event, like Wednesday, you don't want to introduce new stuff on a Wednesday. Like it might happen. You might have to like say the same thing a different way. And that's where teams become really like important on tour and everything gets so specialized out there. That's a whole nother conversation, I think. Yeah. But like when you're coaching high school kids and like, you know, like timing, like you have it on your side. And you can build in some, you know, some insurance that way. And they usually have a tournament and then 2 weeks off, a tournament and 2 weeks off, or a month off, or 6 weeks. And gosh, on tour right now, like
none.
Even in college, like you're always qualifying, right? So like So the further you get into it, the more timing becomes a huge piece of the puzzle. And so if you develop these really strong relationships with your students, like timing can work for you because like you have the same language and you've created the same community. You've created all these things that can work in your favor where they don't stress out if they're hitting it poorly or playing poorly when you can communicate that way. So like there's a big difference in coaching at an event and like the long-term development of it. And then it's going to sound super, super redundant or simple is like you have to know what good golf is and you have to understand like how to play and navigate through it because it's not going to be pretty sometimes and you're going to have to figure it out. And if you can coach them the right way at a young age, they know what good golf is, they can manage it, and then they have a good perspective on what good golf is. Like it can, it goes a long way.
A couple things I want to touch on there, but knowing good golf is really important with those, I think. And I think that's that you talked about the language. I think I've said that to guys before, and you and I've talked off plenty of times with texts. And I've talked to you, I've been open, like, times you get fired by people, right? Especially people you developed up. And I remember saying to one, when he wanted to go a different direction, and I said, like, you just have to be careful because you've had a bunch of success and you've always heard everything one way in certain verbiage, certain ways being handled things. You got to make sure you don't overload that. And years later, when not really that long later, he came back and he said, that was one of the things he said is like, never realized how important the way all of that being said.
Oh, it's a
Right. And I think
huge
that's a
deal.
big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal because if you don't create that and you go off of what like your DNA is or what your DNA like made you great, like I think like at the end of the day when you're playing like you have to play well when you play well, meaning like when you're 4 or 500 you got to be able to that's a skill to shoot that to turn that into 63 on the pro level. And
Right.
like in order to get there you have to navigate through this and you have to be able to say as a coach you have to be able to like speak a language that makes it really easy for the player but covers a lot of bases. And if you don't create that, I mean, it gets really tough. And then if you start going in such a different direction where there's too technical or internal focus versus external focus and those lines get blurred, like those things can get really hairy.
And through all of that, one of the things I've learned too is that in the beginning, I thought, like, man, I can coach any player, right? I want to coach any player. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've gotten selective. I'm not talking about the members that want to be you, but like you realize that, like, my style and what I do probably is it isn't going to fit every player, but the ones that I fit with, I can do a great damn job. And I feel like, right, and put a lot of effort in and get to. And I think that, like, a part of becoming a good coach is understanding that you don't have to be perfect or great for everybody, but like be great for the ones that you're a good fit with.
And I think it's really important to be authentic and genuine to like who you are in your heart. Because if you're not coaching from that place, is it gets then you start holding back info or you start holding back things or because you're into this, you're walking on eggshells, so to speak. And you want to coach from the heart and be authentic to it, which is a it's a really big piece to it. But you also see like different fits. You see the opposites fit sometimes. Someone who's like really, really hot and like hot-headed can deal go well with like a passive or the other way around. And it's really important to say things with conviction and it's really important to like coach with that. And if you're I think like the more you coach better players the more like confidence beats correctness sometimes. And if you can develop that language and that verbiage and they believe in you like you can say a lot of things and they give you permission to say things and permission to make a mistake. And that's a big deal because if you don't have that leeway, like you'll never get better.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, I think, for players and for coaches, really, is you want to have a coach or you want to be the coach where it's okay to make a mistake, and I remember early in my career with somebody we had talked about earlier off the like, Bobby Wyatt was, my first really good player was coming up. And obviously, it was crazy important for me. And I remember him struggling a bit. And I talked to one of my mentors, Mark Wood. And Woody was like, well, you need to go ahead and just tell him whatever this was. And I said, well, he goes, look, if you don't tell him, you're going to get fired because he's going to keep playing shitty.
Yep.
And if you tell him, he may get pissed and you're going to get fired either way. But
You got
you
it.
want to at least go out doing it, telling him
Your
what
way.
you
Yeah.
believe,
The way that's
what you
authentic to
really
you.
believe is right. And that was
Yeah.
great advice. Like, I don't even know if Woody remembers that, but I've carried that way more, into other scenarios, right?
And
Sometimes you say things that aren't popular, like, you know what? I don't think you need to do anything different. I don't think you don't need to do anything different. You've been playing good and you're getting better. You got a lot of other shit going on that affects golf. And right, like, and sometimes they don't want to hear that, and sometimes you go your other way, but I do think you got to be honest, and you've got to be direct, and you got to be able to say what you think.
It's a great point. And I think like when you bridge that back to like the long-term athletic development player, like, and you create like that relationship where you're like feedback, you give permission to give feedback. And like
Right.
this week, like an example for me this week, I had six players in Utah, and like where I'm at in my coaching is like, I want to have open and honest conversations and feedback with each player all the time. And so I had a private conversation with each player saying to them, hey, look, like where I'm going in my coaching, there's a gap there. I need your permission to give feedback whenever, because it's only going to help you play your best golf. And the opposite is true. You need to give me feedback as well. And so opening up those lines of communication and being able to, when they say, if something feels off for them, not being able to like hold it in. And when something, if I see something like not feeling, on eggshells to say it, like that's a big deal. And so when you have these younger kids, it gets easy. The more it gets easy to like, get on them for some things. And you have to be able to say it with conviction. And like the more you get into a tournament, or the more you get into tournament golf, like timing, like we were talking about earlier, and the more important it is to have these open, honest, consistent, like, and then knowing what the player's vision is, and then coaching them in honor of that vision. And it's like, it's easy to get off on that because you want them to play well so bad. And it's
Right.
easy to get off on that part and not give them constructive feedback.
And I think another thing that's important as a coach and as a player goes for both people trying to develop is you can't, it's hard not to, but to evaluate or put your self-worth or how you feel about yourself based on the way your players play, or if you're the player, based on how you play every round or every day.
Correct.
And
Correct.
I was awful at that for years, right? Like the days everybody played good, I was walking around, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
And then you have those weeks where, shit, nobody makes cut, and you felt great Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you walk out and you think somebody just ran over my dog,
Yeah. Been
that's a tough one. That
there,
was
done
tough for
that.
me.
Yeah. No, I've been there, done that. Like, that's not a fun one at all.
What about so you touched briefly on like the team aspect that's out there. I've tried to take some of that and apply it to developing with juniors, to developing players, because I think that's the direction we're going. Everything like you mentioned is specialized. The only thing I dislike about teams is I think the hardest part is keeping people in their lanes, right? I think that's gotten, and I think on tour, I'm sure this is nothing new or revolutionary. I think that's become increasingly more difficult. And I think that's one of the things that causes more breakups of good player and teacher relationships
Yeah.
than anything is an agent, a fitness person, a caddy, a mental coach, somebody stepping out of their lane, right? How do you
Yeah.
handle that? How do you apply that though to developing young players?
I mean, I think that's a great question. I think it's really important there needs to be a leader on the team. And so like as a coach, as like a full swing coach, like you can help direct and navigate through things. And I think it's important to have consistent team meetings with that. So you can kind of like the player's the CEO, and sometimes it gets hard, week to week to keep up with some of that. But if like with their team, but if the coach can lead that and talk to the caddy and communicate to all of the other people around the team. And I'd be saying like, I don't think big teams are that, like sometimes, more information is not always the better. It has to fit that right person. It's like
Exactly.
what I don't know if it was maybe it was Butch, you said, I don't know Butch Hart, but it was either like you got to be the like, crazy smart Mac O'Grady or crazy like on the other side Dustin Johnson or something in terms of learning a golf swing. Like somewhere in between gets super dangerous because like you know what I mean? I don't know if that was Butch or not, but like so it depends on the player. It's like to me, like some players can have 7 to 8 people on the team, someone who's doing their stats and someone who's doing their fitness and their physio and then their practice planning, and then they have their full swing coach, and their bunker coach, and their short game coach, and their putting coach. Like it gets really like convoluted. I think some of it as a coach comes down to like what your belief is as a teacher. Like my goal is to help. Like I want to be obsolete. I want to coach so well that the player doesn't need me. So that means like in an effort to do that, I have to create a learning environment sometimes for the player to explore to get better. Like they have to know what wrong is and know what right is, and so. In my ethos as a coach, like I'm trying to coach myself out of a job where the player knows his stuff so well, like Jack Rout and Jack Nicklaus. He wasn't on the range with him all the time,
Right,
but Jack
exactly.
owned his swing. And like that's what I want to get to that as play with a student. That's the goal. I don't want him to want me out there every week. And I think if you communicate that and you let the players know your vision of it, so that way, like whether you're a 16-year-old that wants to play in college. Because you're going to FaceTime them and they're going to need help. Or whether it's a pro golfer, like you have to share that with them. So then they like everything aligns.
How do you deal with it? I see this now, and it's like, the neediness. I'm using that. I'm not necessarily saying that as a bad term, but tour players where there's this culture now where they want, and realistically, if you're going to coach tour players, I said this to an up and coming teacher the other day, like, you got to be willing to go out. And if you got two little kids, and you don't want to go out and can't, then you don't need to take on a tour player because that's what the job
Totally.
is now, I think.
100%.
Right?
100%.
And so I think you get even, and I get tour players with the money that's out there, it's a career and all that. That neediness, if you will, has kind of drifted all the way down to high school kids now. I mean, I see it, and it drives me crazy a little bit, but how do you balance that? Like, how do you find the right mix of how often do you think seeing them out there is good? And then how, and from understanding what they need, how do you apply that to development?
I think when I was in college, I would have to video my swing like on a VHS, and then I'd have to send it in the mail to my coach. So it'd take like 3 to 5 days to get there, depending on when you send it. And then he might look at it for a minute and then give you a call. So it's like a week and a half, 2 weeks in between, you know. And then so it's everything's so accessible with your phone, right? So, I did this with a high school kid the other day. It's like you have to draw the lines on how often they get dependent on videos because you're trying to make you're trying to create and you're trying to empower the kids and create some type of like self-reliance on them and not like, hey, is this good or bad in the swing? No, like at some point you got to figure it out and like where's the ball flight going and teach off the ball flight and figure it out that day because you're not always able to just look at your phone and problem solve it. So like there's a you got to be able to draw the lines somewhere with that. And what was the other question with like the team part of it?
Yeah, just really just like the neediness of the team. Like, how have you applied the team stuff that's out there, if any, to development players, right? Because, I have obviously, early with Colby and now Morgan and Aaron have become such a big part. And then, using Dr. Carton to help me, I've basically taken most of the same team of tour players that were with tour players and got them to come spend time with my young players. Have
Well, I'm
you at
very
all
lucky.
merged that?
Yeah, like at Congressional, we have that very similar team. Like it's a very holistic team. We have a performance coach. We have a club fitness specialist. We have multiple trainers. We have the environment and culture that creates just what you talked about. So like, I expose the kids to that at a very young age, and I think it's really important because they see the type of what's the word with the work ethic it would take to handle all of it, and like their bodies are changing all the time, and their clubs changing all the time, and like they get better so fast doing that. At the same time, I don't think they know how lucky they are sometimes to have all of that. And there's like an appreciation that's lost in some of it, because like the access they have to some of this stuff is incredible. And whether or just going online, gosh, if you know what you're looking for, you can find almost whatever you want online. But it's a hard thing to navigate through. It's a really tough thing to navigate through. I don't know if I've mastered it yet, but I think if you create really strong relationships, like I work really, like Jason Glass is a great friend of mine. He's awesome at what he does. And he's able to like really bridge the gap between coach and player, and we speak the
Right.
same language. And I try to do, like, I still, in my firmest beliefs, do so much work, like we call them mini camps, away from tournaments. And the PGA Tour schedule and the Korn Ferry Tour schedule make it really hard to do that. Like,
Brutal.
because
It's
especially
brutal.
with these signature events, because like you have some guys in the signature events and you go to those, and then you got some guys that are in the other events, and then you got a conditional guy, and you don't know when they're playing, and it's always a what have you done for me lately like proposition. And but I always try to do like lay the groundwork, like and I think that's part of why I get so specialized, because
Yeah.
You have only
Agreed.
so much time with it. And then I work with James Siekman a lot with some of my players. He works with Trevor Cohen a lot, and it's like it's been really great to see, like, when I work with James, with Trevor and Stuart. And it's great because when I travel to an event and James isn't there, I'll shoot him videos and we talk, and he'll give me some feedback and I'll pass it along, or vice versa. And he'll be at the Houston event saying Trevor's swing got a little long, something like that. So we work really well together. If you have you have to tell the other team members you have complete trust in them, and when you have trust in them, they can communicate to you. So it's not something like there's an ego in there. It's like, hey, we're all trying to help player A. Alex Bennett's awesome at PGA Tour in Jacksonville. I work with him, with Jimmy Stanger and Danny Walker, and they both have some injuries that they fight. And Alex and his team and Sophie, they've been awesome to work with, so we can like speak the same language. The player gets better, and then I have to trust them. They have to trust me about what we're doing. And so there's no like feelings getting hurt, you know?
No, I agree. And I do the same with
It's
a lot of
hard.
it. I mean, that's one of the things that like always impressed me with Colby Touye was like player will go into the gym and I've obviously he comes to work with us a lot in the Bay, but like I can't tell you how many times a player said they go to the gym and he's like, what's Tony working on? What'd y'all do in the last lesson? And they'll be like, well, he was really trying to work on our transition out of the top. All right. So today, all we're doing in the gym are drill exercises that are going to help facilitate that, right? And I think the more people are like that, where the message is the same all the way through, I think the stronger the team is and the better the.
I create a blueprint for each player. I learned this a long time ago from Mark Blackburn, who's an awesome coach. And it's like you create a blueprint for each player and you share it with them. And it's like you go through, hey, this is how the club moves, this is how the body moves, this is how you're creating ground for, this is what the 3D says. And you create a blueprint with them, and then you and the team get on the same page and say, hey, here's where you're at. Like, we got to do this, this, and this. And you be able to, basically you're implementing that plan. And if you can create that, like, you can be able to, like, there's no gray area, and you're trying to eliminate the gray area, because when the player starts getting in that gray area, man, it gets tough.
How do you eliminate the gray area?
That's a great question. Over communicate. I think it's and the players, like, there, no coach makes a decision like in giving a player advice thinking the player's going to get worse. Like, no one's ever been like, I'm going to
Yeah,
like
exactly.
tell them to take it back straighter and I hope they hit it worse. Like, that's not what that doesn't happen that way.
Wait, you don't do that?
No, so like I think the player loses, when they get upset, they're like, man, why is this not? And we're like, we're not trying to do that. We're only saying things that we think that are going to like move the needle forward. But like, if you can. Yeah, I think there you have to explain the big picture in a I always tell players the analysis is not the instruction. And I start the lesson off like that, or the first lesson. It's like, my analysis with your golf swing doesn't mean this is what you do. This is just how you do it. And so if a player's early extending and I'm telling them why the face is open, you're early extending and you hit it off the heel or something like that, like, that's the analysis. Like, the instruction is we got to get the club face stronger.
Yeah.
And then you got to learn to like rotate in your pivot, or you got to
Yeah.
like get into your right hip more so you load. So so it's like it's really different. And I think that's why learning golf on your own is so hard, because like so often the symptom and the disease are so different. It's like it's easy to say, ah, my face is open, I'm just going to shut my face. Well, it ain't that, it's not that simple.
Not that
I
easy.
wish it was that simple.
Well, I mean, and again, like you touched on Butch earlier, and I do think he probably said that based on that comment. But Smiley had me on his podcast a couple weeks ago or whatever, and he asked about it because I'd gone out and observed a few, 7, 8 times, and I said, like, he always hammers the, you got to pick the cancer out of the golf swing. What's the one
Yeah,
thing
exactly.
causes all the other shit to happen, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, like you touched on, like the golfer looking at their own stuff. I think most golfers, no matter how good they are, they see the effects and the symptoms. And our job is to analyze and cure the cancer.
Yeah, so you like you get a player that's working, they have a question about the top of your backswing. Well, you're usually fixing the takeaway,
Yeah.
or they have the question on impact. Like, man, the time it takes from the club to get the top of the backswing impact is like this.
Yeah.
It's like the time it takes my finger to hit my palm. It's like if you can't think that fast, like it ain't
No.
happening. I mean, I can't. I went to Tennessee. I know I can't think that fast. So so you have
I
to
mean,
like.
Kirby Smart wouldn't even call that a timeout, right? That'd be
That
just
was funny.
clapping. That'd be just
Well
clapping,
played. That was definitely I don't know. Well played. That was good. Yeah, so it's like so often they, you have to fix the like the 3 or 4 steps before
Yeah.
that, and like you got to set it up. And I mean I like Joseph Bram is a student of mine. He grew up seeing Butch, and I always pick his brain on Butch because I have so much respect for
Yeah.
these guys. And I would ask him like, what would it be like taking a lesson from him? And he would say, I never left a lesson without clarity. I never left a lesson not knowing like what to do sometimes. And like that's a I try to do that every time. And it's hard. It gets hard sometimes when you're really trying to push a player, and it gets hard. And
It does.
but he's he and so like Butch is a master at being able to like keep it really simple, but like do a great job and move and changing ball flight. And
Yeah.
this is from someone I've never met him. I've never been around him. Just like studied what he's done. It's incredible, incredible to do that.
But I think that, yeah, but I think you're obviously great at doing it. You look at the success you have and are having and will have and have had. But, that's the art of coaching and teaching, right? And I think,
Yeah.
there's so much info out there. I think most of us all have pretty much access to a lot of the same info. I don't know that there's that much. So there's no one person that's got some different shit nobody else knows, right? And I think I think what differentiates different player people and coaches is the ability to communicate, the ability to organize, and the ability to motivate and all of those things,
I think it's the further you get in your teaching that I think that becomes some of the most important stuff like about it. That's because the further you get into, at least for me, there's a difference in teaching and coaching. The game is over taught and under coached, I think. And
Very well said. Very well said.
if there's anything like being a coach, I thought so Jason Bale's great at it. I mean, Jason is his dad was a basketball coach. He speaks like a coach to the players, and I think that's why he goes out there and is able to teach a wide variety of students. And I want to get better at that part of it, and I think that's where like you and I think there's so many great coaches, and it's such an undervalued skill being able to like, because a coach is going to have to navigate through the ups and downs. They're going to have to be with you on the tee on a Wednesday when things feel awful, and the player look at you and be like, no, we're good, we're just gonna do this, like let's go play golf, we'll get it. And like the
Yeah.
player, like their chest raises up a little bit, but they have to have a little bit of that. And that's the coaching element, the human aspect to it. That's I know it's a business, but like we're all humans at the end of the day, and we got to get
Correct.
there as coaches. It's
That's very, very important. Very important. And I think there was a period of time, I think, when all the, there's all the 3D and there's all the gear and
yeah.
all the force plates. And I think people thought that would just fix everything. And if you had all that info, that's just going to make people better. And I think we're finding now that, like, the coaching aspect of it's equally, if not more, important.
I think like I mean, you would know, like you learn sometimes more from your players than
Huh.
right? So like being around Stuart to me has been a master class in
Asking.
how you, I mean, how you handle yourself as a professional. I mean, he is amazing at what he does. And I've learned so much from him and just how you go about things and how you treat people and the way he treats me. It's incredible. And just the like the way he goes about his business, this you can see why he's, you know, had whatever it is, 25 years out there of like really high level, top 10 player in the world for 10 years. Like, come on. That's not
Yeah.
easy to do.
You know, Lucas Glover, for the five and a half years I worked with him, especially in the beginning, he was that way. Like, as far as like just a master class in how you treat people and professional, like,
Incredible.
and he was so good to my younger players coming up, right? The Robbie Shelton I taught at that time,
Yep.
Smiley early in his career. I think, you know, when Lucas and I first started working, it was Smiley's second year on tour,
Oh, wow.
or yeah, end of his first year, end of his first, going into his second. And so you had, you know, a lot going on. So it was, but he was so good at helping me with them, right? And I think
I
that,
mean, how cool, what an experience that is for you and your students, right? You know?
right. And then, you know, he came to lead more than one of my junior camps. Just we were down at Old Palm, and he came out and hit balls and hung out with the kids. And during COVID, a bunch of the guys I still teach, like, there was nothing. We were at Frederica all the time. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Sea Island was open like COVID hadn't happened. And we were just staying in cottages and playing golf and working all day. And, you know, you had these
See,
guys,
like that's awesome.
right? One kid's in Q school now, and he still talks all the time about being a high schooler or a freshman in college, whatever it was, coming
Yeah.
over there and just playing. And they were just riding around in carts and eating burgers, drink a couple
See, like
beers.
that's it. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
But
What
that's
an
me for
environment.
coaching and what it's all about, right?
Like that's a culture right there. That's
Yeah.
awesome. Like that's like the coaching culture is a big deal to
No
me, and
question.
that's awesome.
That's something I've tried to do and you know, get better at, but and always keep in front of me the importance of that culture. And I think sometimes it's easy to feel like it's great. And I think sometimes when things aren't going good, it's easy to not care about it. But I think keeping that culture constant is important.
How, like my question to throw it back at you for a minute, but like how do you navigate the ups and downs with your players? Like how do you keep them more even keel? So you talk about Smiley and Lucas, and like there's ups and downs in pro golf. Like how do you as a coach be able to like weather the storms sometimes, the ups and downs with it, because it gets tough. I mean, whether you're a junior golfer or a college, like it gets really hard.
Think consistency. I think one thing too that's important as a teacher is like whatever your level of communication is, like how often you text and all that, right? Not change that based on how they're playing,
Yeah, you
right?
all, yeah, exactly. It
And
can't
then,
just be, hey, great plan. It's got to be the other side too.
a real lesson I learned, and I struggled with it, was like, you know, you have that period where you get some young guys, you get playing good, and you get popular. And I took on too many people. And then for the level that I like to communicate and how personal I am and how I like to go have dinner and drink some wine and all that, like it was too many people and some people got left out and I lost them, right? You know? And I always look back on a couple of those. I'm like, yeah, I just probably didn't do as good a job. So, you know, I've tried to hopefully get better at keeping, you know, whatever it is you do, be consistent with it all the way through, right? Good or bad. Like just because the guy's playing good, you don't start just hugging on him all the time. And just because the guy's playing bad, you don't, you know, you don't not talk to him because you're afraid to talk to him, right? I think that's the hard one, right? It's like guy misses the cut. I try to keep it consistent. Like if, you know.
That's why like I had that conversation with my players this week is like I want to create the feedback loop, the consistency of, hey, like every Monday or Tuesday, whether you win or you finish last, like we still have the same conversation. What did we do well? What can I do
Yeah,
better for you? It's the
exactly.
same. And I think it's harder with some of the younger gen. They love to text.
Yeah.
And these one word texts sometimes, like it's like get on, like you gotta have a phone conversation with them sometimes. So it's like I think the consistency of it, that's a great, I think that's one of the, like again, that's coaching. That's why you're an expert coach, because you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to like have these conversations.
Well, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't call me an expert, but I appreciate
No, you
that.
wouldn't be doing what, like I, again, like the more I coach, this is my, let's call it like 13th or 14th year. Coaching, it's like the more you do it, I have so much respect for the people that have been doing it so long, just because, like, I right now I know how hard it is. It's
It
really
is
hard,
hard.
and there's a lot of things that, people that want to do what you're doing for 25 years or 30 years, it gets hard, man.
Yeah, it
Like,
does.
there's so many things that you wouldn't even think about, like that to navigate through. I have mad respect for all the people that have done it that far. It's
God,
not easy.
you're the best, man. You keep up all
Yeah.
the good work. I appreciate you taking time because I know
Of
you're
course.
crazy busy when you're back in town. Let's do this again and
Of
let's
course,
do a junior
anytime.
camp. Let's do a junior camp this summer. Have
I
some
would
fun.
love to. I would love to.
All right. Good luck rest of the fall. I'll see you
All
out
right.
there in January.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Buddy.
Take care,
Bye.
everybody.